President of the United States of America, Barack
Obama, 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 Obama,
call him president, he's the next new president. Yeah, senator from Illinois. Yeah, his criteria compared to John McCain, this isn't fair, cause he's BLAC, so the eyes are on he. Through his pen, so he writes legislation with the country on his mind, and he don't coach, cause he ain't got time. Every second, minute, hour, KKK wanna devour. He got guards ready to pop him with their ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-
in sports, people, on this day of inauguration, and as this coochie says, it's my duty, it's my freedom of speech to say the coolest, most classiest president I've ever been alive to witness. And for me and those who follow me, this is a sad day, and I will never forget the day I could say and will forever say, because he is only one of six living presidents. My president is black, y'all, and I will never, ever forget that. So welcome to Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP, and I'm your host, Mike Knox. And indeed, I spelled my name with three X's because how many other radio people feel the way I feel but have the balls to say it? I do. That's who. Follow me on the Twitter at my namesake. I am loud. I speak loud. And it's a hashtag lock it up. Hashtag bet that it's Tito or T takes on Shell Sonnen. Do you care? Also, NBA All-Star voting, a joke. And the NFL playoffs. Who's going to the Super Bowl, y'all? Will it be the New England Patriots and Broadway Brady? Or will it be the Killer Bees with Ben Rapeless, Roethlisberger? In the building, die hard. Or will it be the Buccaneers of Green Bay taking on who I said before the world started to say it, the NFL's MVP, Matt Ryan, and the Dirty Birds are back. Welcome, 347-637-3859. You've only heard the particulars, so welcome to the program as I introduce to you my crew. What's going on, Micah Emmy Richmond on the Twitter? How you doing, player?
Oh, my brother, it's coming down. A lot of rain and a lot of frowns. Seems like there's a lot of people that's sad today because their inauguration has a president that didn't go necessarily their way. But that's okay. If anything taught us about these last 8 years is that we don't have anything to fear, because as long as we hold on to hope, we are the people who institute change. Not one man, not one family, but we, the people, are the ones who get it done. With that being said, sir, are you ready for Green Bay to make another run?
I don't know about that. But also, welcome to the program. He's live from the DMV. Ooh, I hope you got some ideas. They going crazy out there. I got to be out there tomorrow. What's going on, Whitey?
What's going on, people? Yeah, man, it's a sad day, man. It really is a sad day. And more importantly than just him being our first black president, I want to say this, too. The man brought – he unified the country. And,
yes,
know,
he did.
A lot of
unified the world.
He unified the world, and we learned a lot about all races when it came to that man. You know what I mean? And I feel like good or bad, you got to see another side of America, and also you got to see the good side of non-racist individuals and who he brought out to the forefront with, you know, African Americans and whatnot to support him and support his cause. I mean, you saw it in when he was elected years ago in 2009, where all races and all sides came to see him to support him when he was elected and went through the inauguration. And it's just amazing to see the love that this guy gets, you know, to his last day as president of the United States, and see the love he's got all around the world and all around the United States of America. He's a guy that, to me, I agree with you, Mike, the most popular president ever. And more importantly, as genuine as you can be as the president of the United States, I mean, I feel like his family, himself, his wife, everybody was so genuine, and you can feel it. You can't fake the funk, and that's something that I thought that this
Thank
president
you.
Never did.
You know what? Kanye had a line. You know what it is, you know, fake it till you make it, right? You know, and it's been around before him, but you just said something that I want to speak on. I don't think he was ever fake. I've always thought he was genuine. Everything he did, you could see the natural in him, and that's just something that we like to say in the soul in sports comes from your soul. You know what I mean? And this soul, brother number one, okay, I'm asking you to believe, not in my ability to bring about change, but in years. I believe in change because I believe in you. Things like that, and it's people that I feel sometimes they don't understand that he wasn't the best president. You know, let me rephrase that. He wasn't without flaws. Okay, he wasn't without error. He made mistakes. He didn't always say what certain people wanted him to say all the time. But I thought always he was just too classy. I thought he was above that. He wasn't there to bring vocal change. I think he was there to bring change in legislation and policies and things like that. That I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves from. Not, you know, some people see it and everybody don't. He brought so much change. You know, make America great again. Yes. Because of him, because of what he put in people. And that stuff that's going on in D.C. right now, that violence, that's not protesting people. Lock their asses up, okay? You breaking into people's business, you putting people in damage, that's not protest, okay? That's anger, that's outrage, and guess what, people? It's kind of damn late. But Fox Sports Radio NFL playoffs are here. Wally, wow! He just said, can the Packers of Green Bay, come on, Wally, this might be the last time this year, well, not this year, right, because just now, 2017, and we'll be back in football season next time, of course, but come on, Riley, give me Packers of Green Bay. One, well, come on, man. They may not be here for the year. Come on, give me one, Riley. Riley, you're going to let Jay Chris take the funk out of the nasty. Come on, that's not making fun.
Look, man,
we
don't like to play a particular way, so don't ask me to do that to degrade a whole country. Don't let me do that. I'm not going to do it.
Wow.
I've learned.
See, now I feel embarrassed to even ever act it again because that was never my thought that I was doing that. And now that you say that, I don't even want to play the clip no more, man. Delete the clip, statistician. The clip has been exiled on the soul in sports. But the Packers of Green Bay, nevertheless, are going to Atlanta. And before that game, however, we got to talk about the game that has to be talked about first and foremost, and that's Big Ben versus Tom Brady. I've been on record to saying he is the best quarterback of all time, and that's Broadway Brady. I'm not afraid to say it. He's from your school, Michigan, and typically I do not like – I'm a hater. I'm so old school, guys, that if I don't like somebody, I don't like them throughout the course of their career. That don't mean I can't recognize greatness or goodness. I just use that's a word. It's in the wrong text. But Tom Brady's the best quarterback ever to play football. And as a Notre Dame guy coming from a Michigan guy, I have to be honest and say that. Okay? This guy has done it time and time again. And I want something to be said here. And I said it earlier in this year about how good is Brady really when Belichick can go and win without him. He did with Matt Castle and like that. But let's look at Belichick's record without Tom Brady in other places other than New England. Tom Brady helped build that culture there. It's no such thing. If Tom Brady retires, that's when the hood should retire. Because I believe that. I believe Tom Brady gets him out of more trouble than people realize. But Big Ben does the same thing, but the stats just doesn't look as clean. He's a dirty player. If Ben Roethlisberger was an African-American quarterback, Micah, do you think he would still get the greatest that he gets? Because he plays dirty. He doesn't have the greatest, you know, stats. He moves in a pocket. I just feel that way. And we can hold that one on that one. But Brady, Roethlisberger, who you got in this matchup, Micah?
Well, I want Pittsburgh to have this. I want Ben Roethlisberger to have this matchup. But we got to look at exactly what's been going on this season. When it comes right down to what Ben Roethlisberger has been, he has been horrendous on the road. As it's like, if you don't believe me, let's see 6 field goals being made and being kicked against Kansas City. Now, granted, Kansas City's defense, I believe, is much better than New England's defense. So maybe Ben will be able to get something to Antonio Brown for a touchdown, maybe one. But his touchdown interception ratio is horrible when he's on the road. So they're going to
come
spot
on,
Brown.
Come
yes,
on,
no,
I get it, I get that. No, you're right. You're stating facts, and I can't go against facts because stats are the facts.
Yeah, but I mean, like, and then you have that going on. You're in Foxborough. You already suck on the road. The only thing that you have in your favor if you're Ben Roethlisberger is you got Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown's going to dictate some coverage. We already know Bill Belichick's not going to let them beat them with explosive plays. So you're going to have to beat them in some good old-fashioned checkdown game, go to your tight ends, and exploit that and exploit what's going on. Now, the same can be said for Tom Brady, though, because Tom Brady, like many, many fantastic Hall of Fame quarterbacks, love zone defenses. zone defenses is like cake to a fat man when it comes to elite quarterbacks. Because your zone defense doesn't cover anything. It covers a zone. It doesn't cover anyone directly. It really doesn't take too many guys off the game. And when they have the right kind of personnel grouping against your zone, they're going to eat you alive. So I think Tom Brady is going to feast on this zone defense. The only defense they're going to have that really is going to stop Tom is if they blitz a little bit more and if they keep Le'Veon Bell pounding the rock and keep the offense on the field for the majority of the game. Ball control and occasional blitzes to mix things up with Tom Brady, that's the only way they're going to beat New England, but I don't think they're going to do it. New England is going to take this game. It's going to be Tom Brady going to what? Is it going to be his 8th Super Bowl or 7th?
It's their 6th time in this game. I think this is his 7th appearance. Give me 1 second. I think it's his 7th, Valley. It's the 7, right?
Tom Brady, he's won 4, so I know that.
Yeah, 1-4 lost to 1-4 lost
right.
to this
is 7.
What other quarterback has been to 7 Super Bowls ever?
He's going to break history when he goes. He's going to break history when he goes.
Yeah.
Right now, but this right now, it is they're favored by 6 points. So we got them in the game. Did they cover the 6 points against Pittsburgh?
No, I think Pittsburgh. I think I have to take Pittsburgh when it comes to the spread. I don't see them winning this game, but I do see them keeping it close. So I give me Pittsburgh to cover that.
All right, and on this one, Wally, we got New England favored by 6. You heard Michael's take on why he thinks Pittsburgh can't get the job done. Ben doesn't get the job done, and up there in New England, you know, maybe he had too much clam chowder. Maybe he's in and out of the bathrooms, but he's not supposed to be. I will never let him live that down. While they're favored by 6 points, I believe you got them win the game, or do you?
No, I actually got Pittsburgh winning. I'm changing my mind about Mike Tomlin. I said that I thought, you know, it's good.
Oh, thank you. Come on in.
I'm changing my mind. No. I'm a believer. Look, all you gotta do is show me, and it is what it is. Once you show me, I'm good. This is his team. This is a Mike Tomlin team. This is not a Coward team. This is not a Dick LeBeau team. Tomlin team. These are young guys playing on that defense side of the ball. So this is his team. And to me, Pittsburgh is one of the more hottest teams in terms of the last, you know, probably second half of the season to on to now. To be honest with you. The way they're playing defense, the way they're balling, it looks like the old Pittsburgh Steelers. They're faster. You know, they're playing a bunch of energy. I like Pittsburgh in this game, you know, especially with Tom Brady not having Gronk, which is a big thing. I think people don't realize how vulnerable the Patriots are offensively when they don't have Gronk, because Gronk is that one mismatch, and they don't have that mismatch. So I like Pittsburgh in this game. I really do.
You know what? I'm not going to give my pick right now because – Micah, you pointed out all year long, all playoff long, and all season long how at the beginning of the season I said Pittsburgh, Green Bay. When the playoffs started, as the course of the year went on, I switched my tune and went towards Tom Brady, best quarterback of ever, all time. Notre Dame guy here saying that. And Dallas, Battle of America's team. Well, Dallas came up short. Hey, Kate Vaughn, how about them Cowboys? But I don't know. I don't know. I'm torn here because I got to go with something I did that pick. So what I'm going to do right now, 646, Bryce is calling. They want to talk to some NFL from New York. Or is that, I think it's Brooklyn. What's going on, Bryce?
What's going on, fellas? How you doing today?
I'm all right. How you doing, Brooklyn?
Yeah. We always in the building. so I was listening and I had to call in, and I guess I should out myself right now. Die hard, longtime Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Let me call it. We're about to go
black
to New
and
England,
yellow, black and
beat
yellow.
Them boys and go right to the. We're about to beat them boys and go right to the Super Bowl.
Now, outside of being a diehard, which of course that's going to persuade you a little bit, and it's okay because you have that right. You know you got all those Super Bowls. Why are you going to win this game? Why do you see y'all winning this game this time in Foxborough?
No. And you know, I always try to be objective as possible. Of course, they have the coach,
gotta be if you're a sports
they have the quarterback.
Fan.
That's their advantage. However, the quarterback is an advantage, but I'm sorry to have to say this. The gap is not that big. Ben Roethlisberger, any list you put him on, is top three. Brady is one on my list, but, you know, people may argue, you know, the other two. You got Rodgers, then you got Roethlisberger. But even if you put Rodgers at 2, Roethlisberger's still 3 on all your list. That gap is not as big as people like to think it is. I think Pittsburgh has a bigger gap in terms of the offensive line, trending top 5. Bell and Brown, please. Better than anyone that the Patriots have. And I think the front seven of Pittsburgh from their four linebackers as a core are better than the Patriot linebackers. I think our specialists are very good, Barry and Boswell. I just like the fact that we're going to be able to line up and run the football against any team. Ravens, we're top, we're number two. We ran it at 6.1 yards a clip. I don't care how much you coach it. When a team can line up and punch you right in the face and you can't get off blocks, doesn't matter how you try to scheme it. Pittsburgh can run the football on anyone. If you can run the football and be physical and not turn it over, you can beat New England, because while they are a skilled bunch, they are not the most physical bunch. Pittsburgh brings the physicality on both sides of the football. They go in there and get the win because New England hasn't played a team like Pittsburgh all year.
I like that. I like the intensity. I like the intelligence, because this is the show for the intelligent sports fan. Was you going to say something there, Wally?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Well, I mean, I'll say this much. You know, I think Malcolm Floyd, if used correctly, could be a difference. I will say that. That I will say. I think he's talented enough of a skill position, a skilled player for the Patriots to be a difference maker against that Pittsburgh Steelers defense. I still don't like the Pittsburgh Steelers secondary, to be honest, which is a bunch of young guys who have played well. But if the Patriots are willing to put Malcolm Floyd out there and feature him against that secondary, I would take my chances. I would take my chances with that.
Well, Bryce, let me ask you this real fast, Bryce. Let me ask you this, because now you have no fear at all with the record, the history of going up there, the quote-unquote, you know, distractions of the video and all that stuff. None of that, the flu, whatever. You know, I know the coach says no excuses, and I'm a believer, in case you don't know. I know how you're checking in with us for the first time. I appreciate it. I have said when that thing came out with Terry Bradshaw that Mike Tomlin's completely underrated, and people don't recognize his talent and the culture of Pittsburgh. So, like, we can talk about culture of New England. Pittsburgh also has a culture that's legendary. You cannot bypass that as well. So, but none of that fear. None of, you know, things do happen. Not being a very winnable team up there in Foxborough, so none of that fears you against this team. They're favored by six. They're going to win this game outright.
Well, I think Pittsburgh's going to win the game. I don't know the score.
I want to score from you. That's what I wanted.
Okay. You want to score? You know, I'm gonna go. If I have to be pressed on it, I'm gonna go Pittsburgh 27, New England 21.
I like that. Well, I gotta press you, Bryce, because you know, B, this is the barbershop, B. We talking the barbershop,
no doubt,
B.
No doubt.
Well, Bryce, thanks for calling in. Check out what is the game. We're on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. That's also the Twitter at 1340 Fox Sports. To follow us at Soul and Sports, SOUL and Sports. 347-637-3859. And I gotta say this much, with Bryce convincing me, I was already teetering on it. I picked that at the beginning of the year. I have a hard time picking against Tom Brady. So I'm going to go Pittsburgh to win this game. And Bryce didn't really persuade me. I was already leaning there, especially when Wally's house. Like, okay, I was all day long. I thought I would go with New England all week until today. Until this morning, I woke up and honestly said, I think Pittsburgh's going to win this game. That's really where the feelings came from. It's just something about this game. It's something about the momentum they're having. It's something about the killer bees. I'm sorry, Bell. And Brown, and I don't care. All Ben got to do is throw 10 for 17 as long as three of those are touchdowns. You know what I mean? Or two of those are touchdowns, and Brown's doing his thing. I believe that. I do worry about the secondary, like you said, Wally, back there in Pittsburgh, but I think they do win this game and cover the game outright. And how could I be remiss without this being the Lock It Up Friday? I'm going to lock it up, Wally. I'm going to lock it up so good that when I get done, I might go downstairs like Ozone and Turbo and really do some pop locking for all my old heads out there who may not know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to lock it up.
Lock it up.
Packers of Green Bay go to the team who will have the reigning MVP, Matt Ryan. I said all year Matt Ryan had to prove himself, and damn it, he proved himself. I mean, he proved himself so well that, yes, before the nation started saying, oh, he could be the MVP. Michael, where did you hear that first? Michael? I mean, you heard it from me.
Let's see. The first person, the only person I heard.
I think Michael's deaf. I think Michael's deaf.
Here's the funny part, though, Mike. I heard some people were actually laughing at the notion that Matt Ryan could actually have been the MVP this year. So people were actually laughing at that notion, like he didn't do anything.
I still don't think he will be there. Let me just take the facts. I still don't think he's going to win. I still think it goes to Tom Brady. He missed four games and came back.
Yeah.
If he played four more games, right.
It's an MVP. That's all it is. It's just an MVP. Now, if the MVP is supposed to be a regular season award, then who has been more consistent than Matt Ryan? Doesn't matter what Aaron Rodgers did. Who cares about?
Well, we know MVP's not really MVP's. But let's go ahead. Right now, we do have the Packers of Green Bay on the road, underdogs by 5. Atlanta, Vegas has it. New England, Atlanta, Super Bowl. You pick New England. The rest of us pick Pittsburgh. Who are you going with this one, Micah? Atlanta or the Packers of Green Bay? Over under 61 also. I think it will be I go with the over in this game. I think it will be like 67 points in this game.
Yeah. I think that Green Bay has stepped up when it comes to competition and the quarterback play. And so in this instance, I have to go with the 5. I'm going to go with the points and Atlanta to win this game. And I just have to because they're stepping up in competition when it comes to quarterbacks. And I believe that Matt Ryan can go ahead and redeem his moniker of Matty Ice and can go ahead and put the nail in the proverbial coffin. They're inside Atlanta. They're at home. Of course, you know,
does he need this game to become elite? Does he need this game to become elite, or does he win the Super Bowl and he becomes elite? If he doesn't win the Super Bowl, let's say the Falcons win this game, and Matt Ryan has a great game, and he gets into the Super Bowl. Does he become elite? No one ever puts Matty Ice in the top 4 or 5. I don't think so, Wally. If you have, step in there, but I don't think so.
I have to go with you on that. I think that if he does not win the Super Bowl, they're going to go ahead and take him out of that conversation because if you look at what Joe Flacco
But he's never been in the conversation. I put Flacco there. A lot of people don't.
Yeah, he hasn't been in the conversation. Flacco jumped into the conversation just winning one Super Bowl. So, you know, with Matt Ryan, everything that he's done this year, it's one of those ones. It's like a Golden State Warriors last year, right? You're putting together all that you need to put together. You got a unanimous MVP, but you never win the championship. So your season is a wash. Who cares? So this is the same thing for Matt Ryan. If he wants to be in that elite conversation, he has to win this Super Bowl. But I do believe that he will win this game and go to that Super Bowl to do what he needs to do.
347-637-3859. Go ahead. Why is the barbershop? Just talk, brother.
No. So to me, if he gets the Super Bowl, you put him. And I'm not a Matt Ryan fan. I've always been deemed an individual, not a Matt Ryan fan. But if he gets to the Super Bowl, I think you put him in the elite, you know, conversation. Phillip Rivers was deemed elite, and has never been to a Super Bowl. But you know, you gave Matt Ryan MVP. You gave him an MVP.
Phillip Rivers
was deemed elite for a while. And he never reached the Super Bowl. He took a team to an AFC Championship game, but never took a team to a Super Bowl. And I'm a Phillip Rivers fan, but he was deemed elite.
I thought he was always borderline.
Yeah, but if you're looking at Matt Ryan takes his team to a Super Bowl because the win a Super Bowl is hard anyway. It's hard. It's difficult. He takes the team to a Super Bowl and wins, gets the MVP. And granted, and also he knocks out Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Championship game. We're gonna call him elite. And especially how hot Aaron Rodgers has been, we're gonna call him elite. He's gonna move past that notion. He's second tier. He's just at the cusp. He will be there. He will be elite. And to be honest with you, nobody has been as consistent as Matt Ryan. I am tired of hearing about Aaron Rodgers, to be honest with you. He's had a hot streak. That's cool. But Matt Ryan has been hot since week one. Since week one, Matt Ryan has been hot.
Well, who you got in this game?
I got Atlanta. I got Atlanta hands down. I have more trust that the Atlanta Falcons can stop Aaron Rodgers a couple of times. I have no faith that the Green Bay Packers can stop the Atlanta Falcons offense.
He threw 4 touchdowns, Aaron Rodgers did in that last game. But I'm not going to go on the bandwagon. I know that some people over here at Fox Sports have said out, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers overrated and things like along those lines. And I just think that's hogwash. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is overrated.
Like, yeah.
But and I'm with you. I'm tired of hearing his name as well. But that's the world we live in as far as garnering sports the way that we do. And that's what's going to be the talk. And he was the talk of the week. I think he was that worthy of the week of the conversation. But I'm also with you guys in this one. I think Atlanta wins this game. I'm sorry, one of my Super Bowl picks to be right and have Pittsburgh Green Bay. If it happens, I'm going to come back on here on Monday and say, I told you guys. You know what I mean? But now I'm looking at the game with my eyes wide open right now, and you're right. Everything you just said, I will definitely tag in on that one and become a champion. This is the host that we do things like that, right? No broke back pulse. But I'm taking Atlanta to win this game. Atlanta versus Pittsburgh, I still would be a, I think would still be a great Super Bowl. Pittsburgh's mistake. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's, can they actually get it? Can Atlanta's defense stop the Killer Bees? And it's just going to be a great game. But so I'm looking forward to that this weekend. Most importantly, I am looking forward to that one. So we all going to lock that up right now. Bet that. Hashtag bet that.
Lock it up. Lock it up.
You lock it up. Jay Chris is at practice. Baseball is starting early for him. He's trying to get to the playoffs, y'all. He's trying to get the playoffs. So let's get our prayers off to Jay Chris and his baseball team this year. Hope to get those boys in the straight right for baseball. But the NBA. It's fantastic, right? That used to be the motto. That used to be the moniker. You remember those days, King Vaughn? It was fantastic, right? But I don't think it has been lately. And I think that out of all the four major sports leagues, the players really run the NBA. They run it so well, allegedly, that the NBA is afraid of the players. So let's let them vote in the All-Star game. Because of that vote... And this has been a talk all day since yesterday, and it's going to be the talk again because, it, in my opinion, while it deserves that conversation to be spoken about, the players had 126 players that voted against LeBron James for the All-Star game. If that doesn't tell you that the players, A, don't give a crap, B, can't stand LeBron James, okay, and C, like A, don't give a crap. They messed up the whole entire process, and we've argued and talked in this show, and Vaughn also said he took the land to win and New England to win as well. We've talked about on this show about, you know, the All-Star voting and fans, but we always came with a conclusion there, Mike and Wally, over the past year, you know, 2 years we've been here. We always say it's the fans. It's their game. If it's going to be for the fans, you know, like fan appreciation night, you show up. Let the fans have control of it. Even if the fans do dumb picks, it's our game. So now Russell Westbrook, not since 1962 in the big O, Oscar Robertson, is averaging a triple-double, and he's not the starter in the All-Star game.
Okay.
It will be Steph Curry, James Harden, Kevin Durant, to name a few for the West. So they can get in. A, I don't like the new format of the voting where it should always be a center, in my opinion. It should be a center, a power forward, a small forward, shooting guard, point guard.
Yeah,
that's to me, and this is about the third year they've done this, and I think it's stupid.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely stupid. You should have a center, because there's no way they also, I think, should get the talk. And he came out and said something. Joel Embiid should be a starter in the All-Star game. Point blank and simple. He is the best center in basketball, not just the East, but in all of basketball right now. He is the best center in the NBA.
Anthony Davis does
play center. You're right.
He's not better.
Okay, he's number two. I'm sorry. I lived in the moment that we live in, and I was in that moment right there. Okay, sorry, AD. But he's the second best center in basketball. Okay, he's definitely the best center in the East. How about that? Let's go back to my first thing. He's the best center in the East. Okay.
Gotcha. I'm with you there. I'm totally with you. You're not going to hear me argue. Not at all.
I said the NBA, Wally. Thanks for stopping me. All right, because I was going in. I'm going in. All right, that's how bad this is. 62 guards in the West were picked. 62 guards. So the tiebreaker, Micah, came down to the players. And look what the players done did. Wally, what the hell, man? What's up with that?
I will say this for the staff thing. I think Steph would have been voted in anyway. Unfortunately, over Russ, it's just that's how popular Steph is when it comes to Steph and Russell Westbrook. But I think it's appalling though for him not to start. I agree with you on that one because I just feel like Russell Westbrook's going to be the MVP. How can you not have a guy who's putting up historic numbers not start? That's dumb to me. I'll give you another one to be honest with you. Like Kyrie Irving.
I'm sorry. I think he should be starting. I don't care if you take Harden out. I don't care if you take Steph Curry out. Okay, because I don't care about the fans. And I get what you're saying. If I'm saying the fans got to vote, then the fans, we're going to pick him anyway.
Yeah.
But he should be in there over.
Anyway.
I don't get that.
I agree. No, I agree with you. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying.
No, I know you are. I know you are.
It's jacked up. It's jacked up. It's just jacked up. It's a jacked up system, to be honest with you. I think, honestly, Russell Westbrook probably has haters too, just like you mentioned about LeBron. You're going to have players who had a little, they can't think or judge things without being biased or whatnot. That's why I think coaches should just have more pull to anything. I think coaches will kind of have, they won't have that biased appeal that a player would have. Because obviously, like people like Draymond Green probably don't feel LeBron or with Westbrook, Kevin Durant, you know what, probably won't vote for Westbrook because they don't fool with him. He's going to vote for Steph Curry over a Westbrook or something like that. So I just feel like you take it out of their hands. Let the coaches do it, and the coaches will be as fair as but it's messed up. I mean, there's a lot of other positions that I feel like, you know, players have their favorites, fans have their favorites, that some of these individuals shouldn't start, and they're starting. And it's maybe because of the cliche they've garnered over the last some odd years, but we're talking about this season. We have a bunch of ballers right now this season who are playing at a high level that should be rewarded for how they're playing.
Micah, the voting. Are you disgusted? Because Westbrook's not there. Joel Embiid is not there. Yet again, the NBA tries to fix something, but to me, you know, ran out of toilet paper.
Can I just be honest? This is an all-star game.
I would hope so.
This is an all-star game. And unless the NBA is going to do something stupid like baseball and make it mean something, it doesn't mean anything to me at all.
Wow.
It doesn't mean anything to me at all. None of these all-star games mean anything to me because they're glorified exhibitions where we're supposed to see our best and favorite players. And
so you don't like them? Let me blind tag you. So you don't like them? They don't mean anything to you. I get that. No, I'm asking. I know you didn't say it. I'm asking you.
I enjoy the games when I watch them. I'm not invested in it.
NBA All-Star. More than any other All-Star game, I'm invested to the NBA, and then I invest in baseball second. I'm more invested
in the dunk contest, actually. I really want to see if
I'm invested in the whole NBA All-Star weekend is the best sporting All-Star event there is in all of sports.
The best All-Star game to me, and it happened down here in D.C., and not because it happened in D.C., it's because, like, the one Allen Iverson put on a show on. He put a show on in the Verizon Center. And I just thought, like, that was, like, the coolest All-Star game in the world because it was like David versus Goliath. It had that type of appeal.
He was playing
West
in his backyard, too.
Everybody. Yeah, the Big Bad West, and you had everybody. And you had AI, who was undersized, and Stephon Marbury, who's now a legend in China. Both of these two put on the show down the stretch to come back. You know what I mean? To come back to beat the Big Bad West with Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant, mm-hmm. Shaquille O'Neal. Like, and to me, I was invested in that because you had AI. That was his MVP season. You had AI at the top of his, you know, at the top of his game. And knowing that he was, at that time, everybody deemed the best player in the league going against that team. That was so – that All-Star game was appealing because you knew what you were going to see a show. Like, you knew it. So, to me, All-Star games has always been like that to me. Because since Magic Johnson's last All-Star game to some of the performances you've seen in prior All-Star games, because at the same time, granted, it is an exhibition, you see in terms of that the end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, you see these mega athletes, these mega ballers put on a show for you, and you get to appreciate their skill for real.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything that you're saying. All I'm saying is that, personally, I never cared about any of the All-Star games, any of them at all. Like, not baseball, never baseball. Not the basketball, not the NFL.
You're not a fan like we are then. I think that's the level of your fandom towards that sport. I have to say that.
No, that's fine. Feel free. I mean, you know, I can only come from the perspective that's mine, right? However, with that being said about my personal feelings and how I feel about it, Russell Westbrook not being in the starting lineup of the All-Star team, it's very snubbish, and I don't know who needs to go ahead and get smacked upside the head. Because if we're like what Wally just pointed out, if you have one guy, East or West, that's putting up historic numbers as he is doing, then him being part of the All-Star team is a given. Him being a starter on that All-Star team is a given. You know, I'm sorry, but this is no offense to Mr. Steph Curry. But I'm taking Russell Westbrook over Steph Curry for this All-Star game at the point guard position because he has done more at the point guard position than Steph Curry. Steph Curry has been riding Kevin Durant's coattails of efficiency and consistency, as he was supposed to, because that's why they got him in the first place. So I kind of say Kevin Durant being there, Steph Curry can go ahead and be on the bench, and Russell Westbrook should be the starter. And, you know, may not care, but you got to have the people who are doing the most.
I go with Wally saying, and the ultimate there is – that's about the voting. right? And the fans, if the fans voted, it was going to still be Steph Curry. You know what I mean? My problem is the fact that you let the players vote and they still don't do it committed and they didn't help the matter by doing that. The players were, but the players' vote was supposed to, the league thought would eliminate this from happening, and it completely backfired. That's the bigger smack in the face. Real fast, Mike, if you make that question, King Von Jr. 720 on Twitter, social media guy, said, I wouldn't be surprised if the players today wouldn't even vote Dominique Wilkins as the 50-player greatest player of all time.
Well, they did that already. They didn't do it anyway. The players currently
they did do that.
Didn't do
the
it.
Players didn't put
they
him
did.
On there. Okay. They, okay.
Yeah.
I think I remember that, but I can't remember that. But go ahead. What you think?
He wasn't a 50. But to me, real quick, if I'm Steph Curry, I'm saying, you know what? I'm being a bigger man. I'm like, I want Russ to start over him. Because you do have the option to do that. And if I'm Steph, I'm doing that. Because I just feel like Russell Westbrook is having too much of a historic season.
Listen, if Russell Westbrook told his teammates, quote unquote, allegedly, yo, don't say hi to that BA something such to come in the rant, right? I can't imagine Steph Curry, who has the greatest line to me of all athletes who've ever played a sport, to say, if I'm complaining over $44 million over 4 years, then I have bigger issues in my life. I think that's the quote of the year when it comes to athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love that quote. But he's not going to go to the coach and say, hey, let him play over me. That's not going to happen. Kevin Durant is not going to let that happen. It would be extremely classy. I agree with you on that one. But I want to see Kerr have some balls and put all five of them on the court at the same time. I want to see Curtin, Durant, Westbrook, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green put together. I want to see that.
I don't think Westbrook would want to do that. I don't think he would.
I don't
do
care.
That.
Step up. Stop being a. Listen, I get the fact that he's hurt. I get that. I'm an emotional guy. I'm petty also. Okay, so I'm okay with that. But you're a professional. You're a professional. To be a professional, you put your personal feelings aside to do what you're paid to do. So you're paid to put on the show, because what the show would be, as I always said, wrestling is storyline, and we've since then got more intelligent and said sports is storyline. 347-637-3859. That's a storyline. He got him on the court, and Russell Westbrook has the ball. Does he pass or does he not pass? Kevin Durant has the ball in his hand, and Westbrook is cutting for an alley-oop. Does he pull up and shoot? That's what I want to see. That's the fun of the NBA All-Star Game. That's why, Micah, you should be invested at least this year. 347-627-359. Wally, got to get in and get up out of here shortly. I know he has basketball things on. We're doing big things right here at Fox Sports, y'all. Soul in Sports, as we bring you the soul that should be invested in all sports, because we're real sports fans over here. We coach, too. Jay Chris is at practice. Wally got a game tonight. Well, how y'all doing so far this season? Is this your first game, or what's going on?
No, this is our first game. For the game we were supposed to have to be our first game, it got canceled because of the fake ice storm. It never happened. So this will be our first game.
You said the fake ice storm never happened. Oh, man,
yeah.
tomorrow I have to drive into D.C., guys.
I have to
go to RFK tomorrow for this protest.
That travel's going to be crazy, but you'll be all right.
It's going to take me 8 hours to get home. I'll probably be leaving Virginia roughly around 7:30, hopefully.
You'll be all right.
7:30. Coming back's going to be 10 steps in a broomstick. It's going to be incredibly hard to do.
If you leave late enough, you'll be
depends on what time that thing is over. What's this, a million women marching in D.C. tomorrow?
Yeah. Oh, that's what you're going
to do? Something like that.
Oh, okay, that's what's up, yeah.
Whatever
that's big. You know, people coming out of town. Oh, it's going to be traffic. I'm sorry, I forgot about that event. Yeah, you messed up right there. That's going to be a big event.
I need the easy pass to be on. I need the easy pass to be working, working that way. And I need the easy pass working coming back. That's what I need. I need to get past all this traffic. 347-637-3859. Lock it up, Wally. Also, this week, before you get up out of here, talking about this voting, Tito Ortiz, Shel Sonnen, two of the oldest guys still fighting. Got something left, I reckon, but Tito Ortiz ain't had it in 4 or 5 years. Shel Sonnen can't. He's a one-trick pony. This is going to be at Bellator. Still should be a little bit exciting, or will it be, Wally?
Well, I mean, I know Ortiz, so I'm very familiar with that dude. That's the only one I used to. He's one of the people that stood out to me. So I'm gonna take Ortiz off that alone because he was like he was a known commodity back then when I heard when I started listening to even view UFC or MMA.
347-637-359. I'll be right back, y'all.
Fox if you liked us before, you're going to love us now. We brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340. If you liked us before, you're going to love us now. We brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
You say things aren't going well. You say you're in jail. You say you need money to get out. Well, give Walter a call. Walter's the man that can help you get out, face the judge, and stay out. And Walter's prices are negotiable. A call to Walter the Bail Bondsman can have you out of jail and back where you belong in no time at all. Call him at 804-861-8240 or 434-579-5681. Walter the Bail Bondsman, ready and able to help you.
Food? Every meal at Elephant High can be customized from no spices to your desired level of spices. Exotic desserts, soft drinks, and alcoholic beverages are also available, including beer from Thailand. Elephant High, your spot for an exciting dining experience. Call 458-2885. That's Elephant High Restaurant in the Crossing Shopping Center in Hopewell.
Gonna build our new dream home down by the riverside. Ingram Realty is my guide. The Landings at Anchor Point, the newest riverfront neighborhood in the Appomattox. Located in Hopewell, just 1/2 mile from Fort Lee, features single-family houses, condos, and townhouses. Models open noon to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Contact Sandra Hayashi, associate broker, at 920-3159 or Tracy Ingram Realtor at 720-8508.
Hello, I'm Corey Brown. My son Cameron and I run U.S. Gunworks at 3701 Woodlawn Street in Hopewell. We're a gunsmith shop and we sell most types of guns.
I'm Cameron Brown. My job at U.S. Gunworks is to make sure that our customers get the best service. We offer gun cleaning and most repairs, from upgrading your gun sights to refinishing the whole gun by re-bluing it or adding some color with Cerakote. We have 2 full-time gunsmiths on staff, and we also sharpen knives. And I am a Glock AR-15 and Smith & Wesson M&P certified armorer. We also offer a gun class, including one taught by women for women only. This class is what you need to get a Virginia concealed handgun permit. And for the car guys, we refinish more than just guns. Bluing is the same finish as black oxide finish, and Cerakote is a high temperature coating that can be applied to virtually anything.
Come and see us at 3701 Woodlawn Street in Hopewell, or call us at 804-452-6793. That number again, 804-452-6793, and see how we can help you.
Fox Sports Radio 1340.
They're able to step up to the microphone during the hardest of times.
Giving you Tri-City sports.
I live there. That's my home.
I'm a homer.
We're the home of the Wizards, the Orioles, the VCU Rams, the Hopewell Blue Devils, March Madness. Welcome home. This is the new Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Somebody to call in. We are back. Fox Sports Radio 134 WHAP Hopewell. The soul and sports is here before us. And let me go ahead and get this out there for you all the way full of the NBA All-Star Game. You will have your guards will be Stephen Curry from Golden State. You got James Harden. Boy, I'm thinking football. Harden from the Houston Rockets. Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and Anthony Davis. From the East, you got Kyrie Irving. DeMar DeRozan just keeps making all-star appearances. I just don't understand why. The player that 126 NBA players wouldn't vote for, which why I don't understand that, LeBron James. We got the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I can't pronounce it. Don't get mad at me. I don't work for you. We got Jimmy Butler as well. What are you playing? Always one would be Antetokounmpo, but he plays point guard, believe it or not, at 6'11". But he's averaging 23 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, 6 assists. That's just crazy stats. Jimmy Butler, this thing's on. I'm going to go ahead and close the show out with this, guys. Carmelo Anthony, Phil Jackson. Do you believe at all, Micah, that Phil Jackson, the Zen master, is putting in things in motion to get rid of Carmelo Anthony? This is, how big of a pushover really is this?
Well, man, Mike, I have to tell you, from what I understand and know about Phil Jackson's history with the Bulls and with the Lakers, everything that he does has a purpose. You know, when people wanted to call him, when people wanted to try to call him something that he wasn't because he used the word posse, whatever, people wanted to go ahead and talk about inept he is when it comes to being a president of an organization, kind of like general manager of sorts. You know, they don't understand that everything he does for a reason that we may not understand the reason, for crying out loud. On one of the Lakers championship runs, he played the Wizard of Oz for them after a loss. What does the Wizard of Oz have anything to do with good film study? It didn't. But for some odd reason, they won the championship that year. I can't figure this dude out. But I do know that Phil Jackson's history says, I do everything for a reason. You may not understand it, but you're not supposed to. Because you're not Phil Jackson. Recognize.
Well, he came out today and said that if the Knicks don't want him, then he'll leave. Carmelo Anthony.
Easy. So, I mean,
do you think Carmelo Anthony's overrated?
He's
come on, it's the barbershop.
Guys.
It's the barbershop. Don't get a deep gasp.
Okay.
Do you think he's overrated?
Here's what I think about Carmelo. I do not think that he's overrated as an NFL. Look, I'm sick of football,
see,
too.
On your
as,
mind, too.
As one of the great NBA players in our game today, he's one of those few guys that can get any bucket that he wants to if he feels like it. But what makes him the guy that he is and the perception of him, let's think about it like this. Him dealing with George Call and everything, like, there's a lot of back behind the scenes stuff. But do you remember or recall Carmelo Anthony ever bad-mouthing or belittling people in public, like airing out his dirty laundry? I remember every situation that he dealt with where he was supposed to be the poison in the locker room, where it was really him handling himself in a class way in the public eye. So I can't really say that, oh, well, Carmelo Anthony is a jerk. He's a poison in the locker room. No, he ain't a Rajon Rondo. No, he's not that guy. He actually is good at what he does. He gets buckets on anyone. He gets buckets on anyone, especially defensive players of the year. He can get buckets on those guys at all times.
Do you think him chasing the money and not a ring will damage his career also?
Oh, yeah. Chasing the money and not a ring will damage his career. But also at the same time, you know, while we accept it as intelligent sports fans, there's people out there who hold it against guys like LeBron, guys like Kevin Durant, for going to, quote-unquote, chase rings. So, I mean, it's the weirdest thing ever. His condition, he's in that weird spot where he can't win for trying. So even if he goes to Cleveland, oh well, he's just chasing the ring. But if he goes to another team and gets like a $200 million deal, well, he never wanted a team around him anyway because he just wants the money. I think Carmelo Anthony is in that unique position where he's not going to win no matter what he specifically does. But in this case, there's no power struggle because Carmelo Anthony holds all the cards. He has a no trade clause.
You're not going to stay somewhere you're not wanted. You have an ego. He is a quote-unquote alpha male. He has an ego.
I mean, yeah, but you're getting paid regardless. You can sit there. You can sit there and get your stat. You can go ahead and do what LeBron James does in the fourth quarter at times and stat pad. You go ahead and pass your stats, do what you got to do, be on the losing team. You fine. You still get paid, and they still can't trade you. So, I mean, you know, plus he wants to stay around where he lives. So if he goes anywhere, the only other place where he'll probably go, if he wants to keep that consistent, is go to Brooklyn. But I don't know why he want to go there. You know, especially if he actually wants to win and be competitive.
Here's my thing about the whole thing, right? And this is why if I'm Carmelo, I'm not staying in New York. Because, you know, Fox has a beautiful show called Pitch, right? And this is something Chris Broussard, the Fox person now came over from the Four Letter, has also said about, you know, imagine if I went into my room and I talked to my wife and I said, hey, babe. She said, come here. I said, yeah. She said, you just want to be married to me. You're going to think something's wrong in your marriage, right? So Phil Jackson called him in his office, just like on Pitch, and they said, hey, Mike, he was a great player. You know, Zach Morris plays this catcher on Pitch, which is a great show, by the way. And they asked him, he said, you know, what do you think about, trading, you know, don't you want to win a championship? You can't win a championship here. He said, what are you saying to me? They don't want Carmelo. So if I'm Carmelo, I'm leaving New York City because he should have never went there in the first place. He shouldn't have went there in the first place. His first pick to me, if he was going to win a championship that at the time, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago at this point, I would have went to Chicago. Because you had the promise of Derrick Rose, you had Jimmy Butler, you had the defense that was there for you, all you did was play offense. I think it would have made a difference. If you're going to go for the money and a place to live, I'm taking my ass at Los Angeles. He should have been a Laker. But no, he stayed for the money in New York City, and he's getting what he gets. He doesn't have a good team around him. He doesn't have a good coach system around him. Jeff Hornacek, Kurt Rambis, all those guys worked out also. Nobody's going on there, but Carmelo gets all the blame. I don't think he's overrated. I don't think he's ever motivated enough. He's not overrated. He's never motivated. And that's the problem with Carmelo. That's what dims his light in New York City, in my opinion, also, Micah.
Wow, you know what? Now that you think about it, now that you bring that up, he does seem pretty like he's the only guy I've ever heard of in NBA history that was okay, is okay, was not winning the NBA championship and is more proud of his gold medals in the Olympics.
Now, I don't think that was what he said necessarily. I know that a lot of people know Stephen A. Smith. I just think he said he was putting, in my opinion, how I took that was he was putting emphasis on how important, you know, winning a gold medal was at the time. I think he should have said that going into the Olympics. He had a global image at that point to say something about that. So I was okay with that one, but I get you.
Yeah, it came off like, well, you know, I'm at the tail end of my career. If I don't win a championship, man, I'm really gonna run. Like, I really feel like it's man, it's a mad moment. You know, you got that, like, I got this fire in me. Then you got, like, I'm really down in the dumps. But then you got that middle ground where you're just apathetic about everything. And I think right now, as you bring this up, like, Carmelo Anthony, outside of not being where he's not wanted, it's pretty just apathetic, just mad. I think that's where he's at now. It's mad. And, you know, I mean, well, where else are you going to go if you're Carmelo Anthony? Where are you going to go right now? If you want to win a championship, there's only – a couple places where you can go, and Golden State don't need you. So, outside of Cleveland, who else is a real contender? Like Toronto, you believe in Toronto to give Mike to give the Cleveland Cavaliers a run for their money again, and possibly go against the superstars, the Justice League that is the Golden State Warriors, or is he just stuck in purgatory until his contract's up, or until he just leaves and just goes somewhere else? Like, you think he'll close out his career in Denver? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
I had to ask.
You got jokes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. But no, when it comes down right down to this, I do see your view on this and how you don't want to be somewhere where you're not wanted. But, you know, while he has all the cards as far as where he can dictate where he wants to go, who in your mind right now, as far as the basketball team, Mike, would want him? That's not Cleveland. That's not a Cleveland Cavaliers. Who needs a Carmelo Anthony at his talent level right now?
Anybody, don't you think?
Well, it could be anybody, but at the same time, do they want to deal with Carmelo Anthony? Because, you know, Carmelo Anthony, and I'm sorry, this is like a better word, he is a ball stopper. He's historically a ball stopper. I'm trying to remember the last time I saw him pass the ball. I heard you had a story for me. Granted, this story is completely made up, but you had a story for me in which you said that somebody had a story about Carmelo Anthony when he was at the dinner table. He wouldn't even pass the salt. That's how bad of a passer this guy is. Oh, I am silly. Excuse me, I had to let that one. So,
no, I'm not gonna speak on that. I don't remember that part. But hey, listen, man, the weekend is here. History was made today in more ways than one. So we're gonna go ahead and get up out of here, guys. Listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, "I love miss me and don't love God." That's crazy, y'all. We'll be back on Monday. Make sure you check us out, Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP, PDSR Networks, the place to be. Soul and Sports, yours truly, Mike Knox, and I will never forget that. 8 years ago, I shed a tear, and I will never forget, ever. You remember? I know you remember. Where were you? I played this song for at least a year straight.
Yeah. Be the riddick, I never wrote. I ain't writing this, by the way. Some real stuff right here.
Be the riddick, yeah, but quote.
Yeah.
My president is black, yeah. My Lambo's blue. And I be flipping my rims.
Say win, lose, or draw, man. We congratulate y'all already, homie. That motivate the thugs, right?